So we're going to talk about holiday magic. Now, I celebrate Christmas, so for me, holiday magic, things like the, you know, sneaking a shake of the presents under the tree, it's the way the tree looks when the lights first go on, it's the smell of gingerbread in the kitchen, it's the sound of a choir singing to candlelight. And if you've experienced any of those in any degree, chances are it's because you had a stressed out, over-caffeinated mother who was making a list and checking it about 324 times and running up against the calendar. Moms make the holiday magic happen. I know, because mine did. So growing up, my mother would have both the inside and the outside of our house fully decorated the day after Thanksgiving. She sewed matching holiday outfits for my brother, my sister, and me. Our Advent calendars had Advent calendars. And every Christmas Eve, after candlelight service at our church, my mother would host an open house for the entire neighborhood, after which we'd open matching pajamas, put out cookies for Santa, and then wait for the real magic to happen. That's the kind of holidays that I've tried to recreate for my two children, both boys, who are 10 years apart. Now, because of the age gap, that meant no matching outfits. But it did mean that for my younger son, Henry, I got to do a holiday do-over. So when Henry was about 6, his brother Charlie and I were shopping in Target Thanksgiving weekend, and Charlie spies Elf on the Shelf. Now, it wasn't a thing when Charlie was little, but he looked at it, he picked it up, and he said, "Mom, this would be a lot of fun for us to do together for Henry." And my heart just grew 10 times in size, and I thought, yes. Little did I know that that was like tossing the Chucky doll into my cart. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Elf on the Shelf, it's a book slash creepy doll combo where the kid gets to name their elf, and the elf watches the child in silence for the entire month of December, returns to the North Pole every night to report to Santa on the naughty nice continuum, and then Christmas Eve flies away until it returns the next year after Thanksgiving. The book calls the elf a scout elf. It's really a spy. And like all government agents, there's a code. Number one, the child cannot touch the elf or the magic wears off. Number two, the child cannot witness anyone else touching or moving the elf. And number three, the elf must move every night to continue the myth that there's that daily commute to the North Pole. The elf was vaguely familiar to me. It looked like this weird holiday tree ornament that we had when in the 70s when I was a kid. It was the same skinny red felt body, this big plastic head with a red felt pointed cap glued to it, this twinkle in the eye that, if you've seen The Shining, it's the same twinkle that Jack Nicholson had. And what should have bothered me was that my son did not mind living under a police state. Everything was glorious. And actually, for the first week, it was pretty great, because if Henry talked back or misbehaved, I just invoked the elf. I'd point to it sitting, hanging out of a stock pot or wherever I'd put it, and he would magically behave. It was beautiful. What I miscalculated was what daily life with our elf, whom we named Fuzzy because of a ugly sweater Christmas tree ornament that we had that fit the elf, so Fuzzy was the name. Daily life with Fuzzy was horrible. Instead of visions of sugar plums when I'd go to bed every night, I would bolt upright at 3 a.m. in the morning, sheer terror, because I'd forgotten to move the elf. And if I didn't happen to stumble through the house half awake in the dark to move the elf, in the morning I'd have to lie to my sweet baby boy that, "Oh, Fuzzy likes it on the mantle because it's a really good place to watch you. So he's going to hang out there for a few days." I know my kid knew that I was lame, It was absolutely solidified for him when he came home about 2 weeks into the whole elf thing with tales from the first grade lunch table of what his friends' elves were doing. So let's see. One of his friends' elves made snow angels out of flour on the kitchen table. Another played Uno with Barbie and some stuffed animals. One elf fished for Swedish fish in a cup of cocoa with a wire fishing pole that was handcrafted by the mother. There were candy cane toboggans for the other elves, and my personal favorite was an elf ball pit made with holiday M&Ms. What Henry really liked was the practical jokes that these elves played. So one of his friends, their elf, undecorated the bottom half of the Christmas tree. Another elf gift-wrapped the toilet, while another elf put himself inside a toilet paper roll and rolled down the stairs. Now, elf shenanigans were not my full-time job. Nor, and I don't know if you've ever tried to re-roll toilet paper, but I wasn't about to do that. So I did the only thing I do really well as a parent, and I threw some money at the problem. So Henry and I haul off to Target, and there is a whole line of Elf on the Shelf accessories. So I let him pick out what he wanted. He picked out a black soccer uniform for Fuzzy. I drew the line at a companion reindeer because I didn't want to put brown jelly beans all over the house because I'm sure I would have been shamed into that. And because I couldn't do elf kookiness that was Instagram worthy, I did do something that I thought was pretty cool. So snow was forecast, and that morning I set Fuzzy up on our sofa, turned the weather channel on, put the remote in Fuzzy's hand, and I thought, this is going to be great. Henry comes down the stairs. I'm so excited. Henry starts screaming at the top of his lungs because his little six-year-old logic was, he can't touch Fuzzy. Fuzzy is touching the couch. He can't ever touch the couch again. For the rest of the month, my family spent our time in the living room on blankets that were tucked in the sofa cushions. When Christmas Eve came, and Christmas Eve is when all the elves fly back to the North Pole, as I said, until they return the next late November, I was never so excited to see someone leave my house. In my delirious state, and it might have been near psychosis from sleep deprivation, I hid the elf so well I couldn't find it the next Thanksgiving. I was hoping that Henry wouldn't notice that the elf is not coming back, but of course, he did. And I had to go to Target, buy another elf, and for the next 4 years, until he stopped believing in Santa, we went through the whole elf nonsense. And if you're wondering if my older son helped out, absolutely not, except for the really lovely letter he wrote from Fuzzy to Henry on Christmas Eve saying what a good boy he was. That same Christmas Eve, when we were done with Fuzzy and Fuzzy was leaving our lives, I posted on my neighborhood's Facebook page that there was an elf and all of his accessories for free to come and get it. So somewhere in the greater Towson area, I hope Fuzzy's happy. I hope that he's spreading joy. I hope that he's not spreading mischief, although he might be. But because last summer I found the black soccer shorts in our attic, whatever Fuzzy is doing, he's doing pantsless. And I also hope that Henry has fond memories of Fuzzy, but Henry's 17. It's really not an age where they wax poetic about holiday nostalgia. So, you know, who knows? Last night we were decorating the tree, and I had Fuzzy's sweater, and I pulled it out of the box. I said, Henry, look. And he looked up from the phone and goes, huh. All I do know is I am so thrilled that I am now elf-free. And I know I'm not the only keeper of holiday magic who feels that way, because 2 weeks ago I was doing some shopping and I found some holiday cocktail napkins emblazoned with these words, I am just a girl standing in front of an elf on the shelf, hoping that it falls into the fireplace. I have never felt so seen, and that's the real holiday magic.